This is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1@yahoo.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Charles E. Carlson, C-A-R-L-S-O-N. His websites are charlesecarlson.com and WHTT.org. Welcome to the program, Charles.
Good morning, Diana. Happy to be on.
We have not talked for a very long time, but I have talked about you with people like Keith Johnson. Did you hear your ears burning?
Yes, I did. Well, I suspected as much. I do talk to Keith occasionally. And I don't remember exactly when the last time we were on was. I can't quite place it in my mind, so I don't know what we've talked about, what we haven't.
Right. Well,
I'm sure you do.
Whatever it is that we talked about, if we repeat it, it'll be fine because we have new listeners. And I think that the reiteration of imperative information is just fine because it takes sometimes several times before we actually get the meaning of what we are hearing.
That's true. And a sign that you're on the right path is when you can be consistent about what you do talk about.
Indeed. And a sign that you're on the right path is when I went to WHTT.org this morning, I got a warning that there were bad things on that website. I don't know why, but I went ahead and went through the rigmarole and opened it anyway. And when you tell the truth, sometimes that happens. Certain ISPs will decide that they want to censor the truth and not let people get to it.
We're doing a complete rebuild of our We Hold These Truths website, starting from scratch because it's so old and it's been worked on by so many people, but we really have to do it all over. And for that reason, we've put up a temporary site called charlesecarlson.com.
Okay.
And we're making our new posts there, so your listeners would be well advised to go there first because that's where the fresh material that we're writing goes at the present time.
Right, and that's the one that I'm looking at now. And I know what you mean about a website. They can just get so burdened with things that you put on and took off. And actually, when you put something on your website on your computer and you upload it to the internet, to your ISP, and then when you decide to take it off, it's still at your ISP, so you have to kind of clean up both areas and open the publishing site as well.
In 10 years, a lot happens.
Right. Yes.
But we still are basically on the same theme, and that is that we're pro-peace and that we are concerned about the influence of Christian Zionism in dragging us into repeated wars today. And that's our primary theme, is that Christian Zionism needs to be understood, and we're not going to solve any of our problems until it is.
Exactly. All righty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back with our guest today.
Introducing Michael Anthony's Private Stock Herbal Formulas, Infection Killer for all infections, viral, bacterial, fungal, parasitic. My Rapid Heal for all injuries enables the body to mend super fast. My System Toner, the Rejuvenator, tune-up for the entire body, head to toe, keeping it youthful, the mind positive and focused. Dragon Juice, the Revitalizer, pure power in a delicious drink. If your body's dragging, you need Dragon Juice. lung formula for asthma and all lung afflictions, arthritis fix, great tasting herbal teas and more. Michael Anthony's private stock exclusive herbal formulas. To find out more, call 845-231-1094 or email Michael Anthony's private stock at yahoo.com. Michael Anthony's private stock exclusive herbal formulas.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates, but I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256 or go to zerodebtguaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
Today is Charles E. Carlson. His website is charlesecarlson.com. And yes, we've talked before about Christian Zionism, and it is a terrible thing. It started quite early even in the 1800s, 1809 or 10 or so. And it seems to have just infiltrated into every single church. And so tell us a little bit more about it. Tell us about it, what we can do to counter it, and what you do to counter it.
Okay, Diana, I will, and please stop me anytime that you want me to elaborate. I think it's very important to have a layman's definition of Christian Zionism, because our friends, many of our personal friends, even our families, we have this problem within families where men are married to women to men who are Christian Zionists and don't even know it. It's very broad and far-reaching, and it goes into every Christian group to some degree. But there are predominant Christian Zionist groups. So we need a definition to begin with. And so essentially, Christian Zionism is the idea that the state of Israel is the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And so that the state of Israel itself then takes on holy dimensions. It becomes sort of a God unto itself. You can imagine this in your own mind. If you believe that God ordained that the state of Israel would happen in 1948, then you gotta give it supernatural authority. And this is what happens to our friends and our children and to ourselves as we go to church in the place down in the street and on the corner that has a big crowd. We're subtly taught this idea that it isn't just Jesus who's holy, but the state of Israel is sort of holy too. To where you'll find churches that actually fly Israeli flags all over the church. So This is sort of your basic definition to remember, that if your church teaches that the state of Israel has sort of supernatural power, that it is ordained by God, and they usually go back to the Old Testament to show this, and they elaborate on it in Christian Zionist churches. We've tried to establish something that's more identifiable with the church itself. In other words, if you go to your if you have children and you're worried about what they think, and you go to them and you say to them, "Are you by chance a Christian Zionist?" They might not know what you were even talking about, but more broadly, the term Judeo-Christianity was identified with the early movement in the Christian Zionist Church. So there we have a definition that you can follow, I think, and it's worth remembering. It's one of our inventions that has really helped us, because it's so easy to ask people that simple question. Do you think that Israel, the state of Israel, is in God's plan? You can ask it any way you want.
And the term Christians, the term Judeo-Christian, was a term invented right after World War II, correct?
Yeah, I think so. It became popular use about that time, about the time that the state of Israel was created by the United Nations.
Right.
And so then it became very convenient to start talking about people as being Judeo-Christian. The idea was, if you ask somebody to explain that, they say, "Well, we of course we're Judeo-Christian. We believe in the old Jewish Testament, and we believe in Jesus' new Christian Testament. So we believe in both. Therefore, yeah, we're Judeo-Christian." Well, the question really is, Christianity is about the following of Christ, and the Old Testament is essentially a history. So if you ask people what they follow, they should tell you, "Well, we follow Jesus' words," if they really believe they're Christians. Now, we get a lot of arguments from people over that, and I don't want to start arguments with your listeners, but we'd be happy to take calls about this. This, in the essence, is that there has to be the latest and greatest. There has to be the new thing. And, of course, the essence of Christianity was that God brought forth a son, Jesus, to lead those who would follow him on the path which was called the New Covenant. And this became Christianity.
Right. And then it was infiltrated. The churches were infiltrated. And I think that they were taken over by the Christian Zionist movement, and I think also, of course, we have to recognize that they are mostly corporations, federal corporations, in order to get that tax-free exemption.
That's right, and your formal point is really an important point, as of course is tax-free status is important too. But the Zionist movement, which we think of as starting with the state of Israel, actually it was going strong for 80 years before the state of Israel was created, and it resulted in the creation of the state of Israel. So there was a power called World Zionism that was doing very well back in about in the early 1900s, and it resulted in these steps, step by step, that moved forward to actually give a land grant to the immigrants from Europe who wanted to start ended up calling the State of Israel. They actually picked the name out of the Bible. The State of Israel could have been called New Judea or anything, but the Zionists carefully chose a word that would be acceptable to Christians. Everything that they chose was biblical. They went back and picked their own name right out of the Bible. So Israel is a choice of a name that you might say was like taken out of a name book. People name their kids. They sometimes use books, reference
right.
books to find a name. Well, the Zionists picked Israel as their name for a very good reason. They could see where it was all the way through the Bible. It was used to connotate a favored people. So they wanted to be a favored people in the eyes of all Christianity, so they carefully selected a name. And then Zionism went on to create ideas that they could sell and inculcate into American Christianity, because the early Zionists really knew they didn't have any chance of getting the people of the United States to support their idea, which was to steal, essentially, really to take by force a piece of property that had been occupied peacefully by Arab people. Actually, it was co-occupied. There were Jews there too, but 90% of the people who lived in Israel before the state of Israel was created were Arab people who were Muslim, and some were Christian.
And some
Christians lived there,
right,
too.
Yeah,
there was 20% Christians, I think, and 80% Muslim Arabs. So in order to do this, they used the Bible, because they wanted the Christians to support their movement. They knew that America was 85% professing Christian people. So how were they going to steal a piece of property right in front of the whole world without the support of the American people? So the idea began to be, they promoted the idea very carefully in biblical ways. And the first way, of course, was they wanted to plant ideas in our mind. The first idea that was planted in our mind by the Zionist movement is that Jesus was a Jew. And we're supposed to think that Jesus was a Jew in terms of the Jewish people we know today. Well, Jesus, of course, was a Judean, and he revolted against the religion of his day. I don't know if you'd say the religion of Jesus' day was Jewish. It was the Israelite-ism, you might say. But Jesus openly revolted against that. He went into the temples. He preached against it. He fought against it. He led his followers against it. He denounced it. He called the leaders sons of Satan. He called the Pharisees vipers, generation of vipers. Jesus confronted in the very churches of his day the movement that Zionism would have us believe was them. They want to believe that Jesus was one of them.
The idea that Jesus was a Jew
is promoted very widely. Pardon?
Very tricky, deceptive people.
Well, it's a wonderful way of going about it. If you wanted to take over something that was supported by the majority of American people, vast majority, the thing to do is to change the meaning of the words and to make your movement to be desirable in their eyes, and that's what they did.
Indeed. And I guess they've done the same thing with warfare. They've made warfare something that indicates that you're patriotic and you're pro-American, and if you say anything anti-war, then obviously you're a bad person and you're not supporting the troops. So
exactly.
they have really really made some changes, alterations in our language and in our culture.
And Diana, it was necessary for us to approve war. The American people essentially have to kind of turn Jesus' words around. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Well, the taking over of Palestine has been one bloody war that has been going on ever since 1948. It's never really stopped. The people there are occupied. I've been there, and I've seen really the worst of it in Gaza, which is the place where the worst occupation, the most overt occupation, takes place. Israel essentially has occupied the country and made war upon their prisoners for the entire time they've been there. Therefore, Christians had to accept the idea that war is sometimes good. So instead of blessed are the peacemakers, which were Jesus' most famous words, we now have the idea of war is okay as long as war in the support of the Israelis.
Wow. All righty. We are going to a quick break. We will be right back with Charles E. Carlson.
Right now, food is everywhere. If you want it, you can buy it. For now. When the coming crisis occurs, how will you feed your family? Will healthy nutrition be available? The answer is probably no. Jeff Lawton will show you how to survive the coming crisis in an abundant way with permaculture. Jeff Lawton is a permaculture designer, teacher, and consultant who has shown people like you People in 35 countries around the world. People who want to know what they can do to survive the crisis that they see approaching. There is an absolutely free video online that will help you discover how to survive by giving you step-by-step instructions in establishing food forests that will help you become survival confident. Log on to jefflawton.org right now. This free video will only be available for a limited time. That's jefflawton.org. GeofflawTon.org. Survival is not optional. Visit jefflawton.org today.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendovite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Today is Charles E. Carlson. His website is charlesecarlson.com, and we do invite you to visit the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. And somebody in the chat room mentioned, yes, they've switched a lot of the language. What used to be considered happy, meaning the word gay, now means homosexual, and so that was. That was an example, which
that's
I thought
one
was
example, and there are many.
Yes,
and of course the Christian Zionist movement has been perhaps the most successful religious movement in the history of the world, in that it has taken perhaps 1/3 of the entire Christian population in the United States and converted them to where essentially they would identify with these ideas of Christian Zionism. And so this has become the power base that has been used by the state of Israel in every case. Now, just to give you one political example that's going on right now, Chuck Hagel, former Nebraska senator, and I don't know his total record or anything like that, so I'm not singing his praises, but he is a former Vietnamese vet, and at times he has criticized Israel's occupation of the Palestinian people. Well, now he's now being nominated for Secretary of Defense, and Israel is adamantly against him, and the pressure is being brought on the Congress to keep Chuck Hagel from being confirmed, simply because he has said some things sometimes that suggest that he doesn't favor giving Israel unlimited armaments when they use those armaments to suppress the Palestinian people. So where will the support come from for the movement to stop Chuck Hagel's nomination as Secretary of Defense? The answer is, in America, the biggest voting bloc that can be mobilized in a political cause is the Christian Zionist bloc. And it's always mobilized around the same idea. If it's not good for Israel, then there's something wrong with it. And if Israel does not like Chuck Hagel, then Chuck Hagel should not be confirmed as the Secretary of Defense in America. It's really that simple. And so that voting bloc has become what is really the largest voting bloc in America, and we don't know the number of them that actually vote from time to time, but the number of people in churches that identify themselves as Judeo-Christian churches would number around somewhere between 40 and 70 million people in America.
Oh my.
That's about one third of the population, it's certainly more than one third of the voting population. So it's a very, very big block. And that's been the result of the Christian Zionist movement, and it's focused right now back down to Chuck Hagel for that very simple reason, that he has simply spoken out a number of times about giving unlimited military aid to the state of Israel and the way they use it.
Right. Now, do you see this as I don't know. If you look at his background, he was running in 1996 and 2002, and he actually was the owner of ESNS, Michael McCarthy was the campaign manager for Hagel. And Michael McCarthy was the owner of ESNS, which is the company that owned the voting machines that would count Hagel's votes. And Hagel owned about $5 million in the parent company. And so 80% of Hagel's votes were counted by the company that he had stock in and by the company that his campaign manager owned. So I don't see him as squeaky clean in the least. So I'm kind of wondering if this is just some sort of operation to get another person in that position that would be even more dangerous to the Palestinians. In other words, you know, Obama's going to put forth Hagel's name, and it's just like when Bush put forth that woman for the Supreme Court. I can't remember her name now, but I mean, she was obviously was not fit to be on the, I don't know how you'd be fit to be on the Supreme Court. But I thought that was just kind of a fake candidate in order to get the real person in. So.
Well, you know, you may be right about that. And again, I'm not from Nebraska, and I've only seen Chuck Hagel's record a few times, and I'm not in any way endorsing Chuck Hagel.
I understand. I'm
simply pointing out that in the area of political control, the state of Israel, and political Israel could, I suppose, fake it too. But sometimes they do things like that. Simply stated, there is a pretty powerful looking movement coming out of there that has the leadership of the most prominent world Zionists in the Senate and in America, American Zionists, that are saying, no, he's unfit because he does not favor the state of Israel. And that statement is made to generate grassroots support because
yes,
the state of Israel
that,
does not
yes,
vote in
exactly.
American elections. See, but these
exactly.
70 million Christians who go to these churches, Christian Zionist churches, do vote.
Yes.
So for whatever it's worth, make your own conclusions on that.
Right. All righty. We are going to a quick break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com. There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. HeartandBody.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Charles E. Carlson. His website is Charles E. Carlson. com, and that's CARLSON. Do you feel like the politicization of other issues like abortion had a lot to do with getting people more involved with politics so that they could, meaning Christian people, more involved in politics so that they could be a voting force for Israel right after World War II?
That's a tough one, and I honestly don't know. I don't think that anything the state of Israel has ever done has really furthered education. It always furthers promoting some specific idea, and I do not in any way limit that to just the issues involving a war. I think the state of Israel and the Zionist movement has tended to promote the liberalization of churches in some manner, and maybe the gay movement is something that they would promote. I think in the area of abortion, which you mentioned, Israel, of course, has very liberal abortions. They have more abortions than in the United States. So abortion is not only acceptable in Israel at every level, but it's also paid for by the Israeli government. People apply to the government to get the money to have an abortion done in Israel. So being sort of a non-religious or non-religious place, really pretending to be something, but it really not having much in the way of religion. Causes like that are very much promoted. How this plays out in our churches is really strange, because the very churches that claim to be the most pro-life, adamantly pro-life, are oftentimes the Christian Zionist or the Judeo-Christian churches. They are sort of they're committed. They say they're committed to the pro-life movement. But the strange thing about that is, at the same time as they are pro-life for unborn children, they have no problem in Israel bombing Gaza and killing 300 children in the last in the Christmas, the 8-day Christmas campaign that just or several or more than 1,000 children in the big bombing, the 31-day bombing of a couple of years back. So the idea of life in the Christian Zionist Church is very confused, because they have to support Israel's ongoing war machine. And Israel, of course, is campaigning for war against Iran all the time. They want the United States to bomb Iran, or else they want the United States to come out and say that we support Israel's bombing of Iran. Israel was very much behind the promotion of the bombing of Iraq and the destruction of Baghdad. And, of course, Christian Zionists are expected to support that because it's in Israel's best interest. And yet these same churches would almost unanimously say that they are pro-life. And, of course, this means anti-abortion to them. They never, the people inside the church never stop to think about the inconsistency of their position. How can you be for saving the life of unborn children, by taking action, and on the other hand, not objecting to the killing of Iraqi children? Literally,
right.
Hundreds of thousands of Iraqi children have died in the war that we carried out. If you think back on the war in Iraq, Israel promised they would not bomb Iraq, they would stay quiet if we would really do a good job of finishing off Iraq. So there was a deal way back then.
Do you think, Charles, that that it is because Christians do not think critically? Or do you think that the media does such a good job in covering up the real culprits behind the war and projecting the sins of the Israelis onto the people in Iraq and the people now in Iran? Do you think it's or do you think it's a combination of both?
I think it's both. I think both are part of the Zionist plan, whether you're talking about Jewish Zionists in America or Israeli Zionists in Israel, or the leaders of the Christian Zionist Church fall right into this. But here's where we have to actually separate, and this is, of course, the hope in all of this. This is where we have to separate the people who are followers in these churches, the 70 million, and the handful of leaders who are very, very wealthy in most cases, who lead these enormous Christian Zionist churches. So you would have to say that that the leaders of these churches are de facto, at least in fact, they are complicitous. They have to realize that they're really carrying out sort of a in-church con job upon the people inside the church. And this is where it comes back to, who are these Christian Zionists? It turns out that they're not somebody else's friend. They're not the Republicans if you're a Democrat, or the Democrats if you're a Republican. They're not the Catholics. They're not the they're not any certain group. They're not the entirely the Southern Baptists. They are our friends, are our neighbors, the people who live right next door to us and get up on Sunday morning and go off to church. These people are very much deceived, and of course that's the basis of our mission, is the idea that what we really need to do is sort of unravel the Christian Zionist fraud within the churches for the benefit of the people who are there. And this is where the hope lies, of course, in making positive changes, what we really need to do is we really re-educate about 70 million people about what perhaps what the Bible means, but certainly we need to re-educate them in terms of the facts of what's going on in Israel and Palestine. They will not recognize, or they don't know, they really just don't know, that the people in the Gaza Strip, 1,300,000 of them, are prisoners inside a fence. And twice in the last 4 years, Israel has simply declared war on their prisoners. They've gone inside the prison and killed an arbitrary number of them. They don't realize that these people are defenseless. They don't have any way to really fight back. The so-called rocketry that they fire off, it could easily be faked by Israel, part of it. But in most cases, it simply is not defense whatsoever. So you have thousands of people going to a church in McLean, Virginia, for instance, called Cornerstone Church. It's a huge, huge church, and the leader is Lon Solomon, who is Jewish. He says he's been converted to Christianity, but what he teaches in every day in this huge church with all these members, a very rich church. I mean, I don't know how many acres they have, maybe 40 acres in McLean, Virginia, surrounded by a it's actually a four-lane road that goes around the out perimeter of this church. And it has parking spaces for 3,500 cars on two levels.
Now, you have stood outside that church before with signs, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely. We stood outside the church. We've written letters to Lon Solomon, and we've written him very polite letters, and we've said, here's what you preach and teach. Here's what Christianity says. Can you explain why what you teach is not Christianity? And then we circulated these letters to Lon Solomon's 70 member, believe it or not, the church has 70 people, paid people in the staff, who have email addresses. And we circulate the same letter to all of them. We tell them that we're coming there to do a lesson, a teaching, we call them vigils, at the church, to carry our message to the population of that church. We wonder if he'd care to answer us and tell us why he does these things. And we then contact the police, we contact local newspapers if they will cover the event, and we go out with a small group of people, and we stand there and we challenge the leader of the church in front of the population. What we're trying to do is carry a message to 3,500 cars that go inside this church. And we found this to be very successful. We've been doing it for 10 years. It's all based on the idea that the people inside the church are fine. They're just criminally misled by the leadership. Now, one proof of this is that all Judeo-Christian churches, to my knowledge, believe that we face an end times in our world. The world is coming to a wrap-up. It's coming to a violent end. It's going to take place in Israel. And at that time, all of our worldly property will be completely worthless. We will have no more stake in this world. Those of us who follow Christ, according to the Judeo-Christian idea, are all going to be lifted directly to heaven on a one-way ticket, and they won't be behind to watch what happens in the world after them. So money and material goods is of no value to us under this idea of this rapture, because it's all going to become worthless to us. And yet the leaders of these churches are accumulating these mass wealth positions of earthly goods. 40 acres in McLean, Virginia, worth I don't know how much. Other homes and all kinds of amenities, which the leaders of the Christian Zionist churches usually enjoy. They become extremely wealthy, physically wealthy, materially wealthy on the movement within the church. And yet they're telling the people in the church, don't worry about money. It's all going to be worthless. The only thing that's necessary is that we follow what God wants us to teach. And so thus they then teach the Judeo-Christian ethic, which is whatever Israel does is right. Israel is part of God's plan. You are going to be lifted to heaven and away from all this if you believe it. And by the way, you need to accept these righteous wars that are being carried on, because that's necessary to protect the state of Israel.
And oh, by the way, be sure and send us a check so we can keep those 70 employees employed, right?
Exactly, Diana. And that goes on in these churches. So the inside these churches themselves is the mission of the that we started our organization to carry out. And we've learned a great deal by it. It's wonderful fun, and we've had terrific experiences, just unbelievable experiences at the churches. And we've learned how to do it pretty well. And we found out that the more humble and meek you are, and the less people who participate, the more likely you are to get the sympathy and the interest of the people inside the church. So we've sort of developed a little formula how to do this, and we've had people that have done these vigils at churches all by themselves and have insisted they want to be the only one there. They don't want any protection. They don't even want a camera present. They just want to be there to challenge the church all by themselves. And this believe it or not, this idea of humbleness does work, because, of course, Jesus, when he went into the temple, went in pretty much by himself.
Right.
And he essentially, Jesus challenged, and our argument to these churches is, well, we're doing what Jesus did. The first place he went was into the huge temple in Jerusalem. And there he challenged the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people making the sacrifices and the false collection of money, which was going on. Remember the story, turning the tables.
Right, the money changers.
The money changers inside the temple selling doves and goats and other sacrifices. And so this is basically a historically Christian precept, is the one of going right to the leaders of the malefactors with your mission and carrying the message to them. So we think it's a great idea, and someday it's going to catch on, and you're going to see people standing in front of every one of these Judeo-Christian churches with little signs that say, "Blessed are the peacemakers," asking people to come by and talk to me.
Right. And have you been successful in really turning somebody so that they can look at things and develop some new perceptions about what they're doing?
Yeah, we have. We've had people that have said amazing things to us. At the church in McLean, Virginia, a guy came out, and he was a former military veteran. He had 10 years in the Air Force, and he came out and chatted with me and one other man who was with right there with the hearing and listening to him. He had several tattoos on his arms, and he'd retired from quit the military after 10 years, and so he sort of saw, I think he saw that the military life, he did not like the outcome of it, and he showed me his forearm, and he had the tattoos on his upper arm, and he said, "I'm going to put a tattoo on my forearm right here that says, 'What's on your sign? Who would Jesus bomb?'" Because he said, this is the essence of the conflict between war and the church.
Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, a nice thing. I went home wondering if I should get a tattoo.
I don't think so. I think that if we were supposed to have little signs and figures and things on our arms, we would have been born that way. I think that we should leave our bodies the way that they were created.
Well, anyway, carrying out a message is what it's all about, and there are other ways to do it that are more easily read than on your forearm.
Right. And it's very unfortunate that people put so much faith in their church that they don't even read the scriptures upon which those churches are based to figure out exactly what Christ was saying and who he was talking about. And you said that he was not a Jew, that was something that the Jewish propaganda ministry came up with, saying that he was a Jew. So what was he?
Yeah, well, of course, the reason for that is semantics. Again, as we said when we started, the state of Israel grabbed the name Israel out of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Israel was a character in the Bible who, upon which a sort of a religion called Judaism, but at that time called Israelitism. So they sort of grabbed that out of the Bible. And, of course, there was no Jew at the time of Abraham. There was no Jew at the time of Christ. The word was coined 15 generations later, after the days of Shakespeare. Some say it wasn't used until the 17th or 18th century, but it was then a contraction of the word Judean, because of course Jesus and his followers were residents of a place called Judea, mm-hmm. and that had been named after someone, a son of a grandson of Abraham called Judah. So now if you go back into the Bible, you'll see that 2,000 years before, according to the Old Testament, a man named Abraham lived, and one of his grandsons was named Judah. And then out of this, eventually, the place called Judea evolved, and then sometime later, some English guy, some writer of a Bible, editor of a Bible, needed a good term to describe the people back then, and so he changed Judean to Jew, and hence Jew became used. And so it's a modern term that didn't exist in the time of Abraham, because even the man Judah was not even born yet. He wasn't born for two or three generations, according to the Old Testament, a book of
Genesis. I'm sorry. We do need to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, meat eaters. The freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze-Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TheraVim.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and my guest today is Charles E. Carlson. His website is charlesecarlson.com. Now, wasn't it Judah's idea to sell his younger brother Joseph into slavery into Egypt?
Yes, that is the later part of the story, right?
I mean, doesn't it? It seems to be that they started looking at others as commodities quite some time ago.
The history is pretty sordid, but of course, Judeo-Christianity smooths all of that out and makes that all very acceptable. And what they essentially tell you is that was just the stories of its time. I would like to give you one example of this abuse of the scriptures itself, which is, has become Christian Zionism, because I think we really need to realize that this whole movement of Christian Zionism is carried out by corrupting the Bible. And generally, the way that the Bible has been corrupted has been by commentaries written about it. In other words, it isn't the words inside the Bible itself, sometimes which are difficult to understand, but it is the commentaries written about it that then become accepted as being part of the Bible. And the most famous of these and the most prominent one was written in 1908 by a man named Cyrus I. Schofield, the Schofield Reference Bible. And it's based upon the footnotes that he wrote in 1908, which was about the time that World Zionism was getting rolling. The footnotes he wrote in the Bible about 1908 justified Israel's ownership of the land that they took from the Palestinian people. And they use a paragraph about that that they extracted right out of the King James Version of the Bible. And then they simply wrote explanations that wrote Israel into the Bible itself in the footnotes. If you go to Israel and you ask someone there, which I did a lot, I asked people of all kinds, people on buses, people in restaurants, people I met, the guy who owned the hotel I stayed in, things like that, where do you get the authority to take this land from these Palestinian people? And they all tell you the same thing. Oh, God gave it to us in the book of Abraham or the book of Genesis. And then they'll quote to you line and verse about what the Old Testament Hebrew Bible says was the land grant that handed the state of Israel to them, the European Jewry of the 1940s, which they then take right out of the Bible, and then they suggest that this is part of Christian doctrine. You see, Diana?
Mm-hmm.
And so the one I want your listeners to remember and look up, and by the way, my attitude toward the Bible is very simple. Get a New Testament and read that. Read that first, and then go back and look at the history that is indicated by those writers in the New Testament, just like you would. If you were studying chemistry today, you'd get the most recent organic chemistry book, and you'd read that, and then you'd go back and read into the old ones. Or in physics, you'd go back to Sir Isaac Newton after you read the new modern book that's just written. In Christianity, read the New Testament because it's very short, and it talks about what Jesus expects of his followers.
Right. All right, we do have to do this. A 60-second top of the hour break. We will be right back after station ID and a word from our sponsors.